Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today, along with Sarah Gonzalez. Our Uncomfortable Truth series features conversations about race and identity, and this week it takes us to Anchorage, Alaska. Now, Anchorage has a large Native American and immigrant population. More than 90 languages are spoken in its public schools, and more than half of students there identify as people of color. Perceptions on race in Anchorage vary widely. Some black people think racial conflicts aren't as pervasive as they are in the lower 48. But many Alaskan Natives would disagree with that. They point to high rates of Native people in prisons and in foster care. Alaska Public Media has a monthly dialogue series called Community in Unity, and they took on race and identity last November, right after the 2016 election. Anne Hillman moderated the discussion along with a couple of co-moderators. She's urban affairs reporter for Alaska Public Media. It was a big affair. 55 participants talked about a wide range of topics, including defining black identity in America, the use of the term African-American, and a lot more. So we're highlighting two of those topics today. The first was raised by Kokai Nasekere. He's a black man who grew up in Anchorage, and he wanted to know what white people have learned about race from the anti-segregation movements of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Since I know I grew up with my parents having their childhood experience being the civil rights movement and hearing the stories of how to interact with a white woman on the street corner without getting lynched, how to interact with the police without getting lynched, how to walk into a classroom and see nobody reflected that looks like me and not get lynched. What did you get from the civil rights movement that we're not talking about from the other side? Because I know exactly what black people got.
Hi, my name is Marge. And despite the fact that I was born in the mid-60s, I didn't hear anything. I heard silence. I lived in completely white community, and I heard nothing until I went to a chosen community, went to college in a place with people that didn't all look like me, and then I learned about it.
My name's Tim. A lot of the time I hear, like, my white friends tell me that it happened a long time ago and just let it go and act like it's nothing. And I think it's almost like a child where if you abuse it as a kid and then it grows up, it's still going to have problems as an adult. You can't just say that happened when you were five, that someone abused you, just grow up and let it go. I think America has a lot of problems from the past. And, you know, you build a house on a foundation. If the foundation was kind of bad, it's going to have problems as you put the house on top of it.
So my name is Anthony. As a white male, I think part of the reason I, like, haven't had the discussions about race is because I've sort of operated in the privilege where I can look away on issues such as race. Like, that's not something I had to talk about. And going back to the point, as sort of just, like, how are these white people responding to the civil rights movement and how they're taught, it's because we have this privilege, we're allowed to look away from sort of the horrible things done by other members of our own race. And when you say, how can these people still lead us, it's because they have the privilege to be able to look away and sort of be like, those events are past. But because I belong to this category, I can sort of continue forward.
We don't have to look backwards because we have the privilege of not looking backwards. My mother, all of my people are from Southeast Alabama. That's why I live in Alaska. I love them, but no. They're not Facebook friends either. But my grandfather was a lovely man who was a sheriff in Alabama. And my mother, who grew up in the 50s and 60s, always said she'll watch a show and she'll see something on a march or a lynching. And she'll go, I never saw that kind of stuff. And I went, you were the sheriff's kid. Now, first of all, you know that was happening. He may have been at them. I love granddaddy, but he may have been at them. And of course he kept you away from it. You know, we're the only ones really allowed to be that willful about it and to pretend like it didn't happen.
There was another conversation, too, and it hit on racism against Alaska Natives. Victoria Hike-Steer talked about her own experience.
I'm Inupa. People don't always realize that, especially when they see my eyes. They're not brown. My experience living here is really, really different in that I encounter racism in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's just the shock that I'm actually intelligent. And people were really angry that this Native kid was incredibly smart and didn't give it what they thought. And The other thing is, I went to law school not because I wanted to, but my grandmother, she asked me to go, and I said, why? And she said, I was born free, but I'm not going to die free. I want to know why. What happened to us? How did we lose everything? We fought no war. We killed no one. My experiences with white people have been fascinating. My father's family was lovely to me. But white people, I can only handle so many as friends at a time because you get tired of explaining. I'm glad you're having this conversation, but what you fail to realize is we never asked to be American. We never volunteered our land. And ANCSA wasn't a settlement, it was imposed. Are we very welcome here? No. No. My father literally asked my brother and I at a Thanksgiving dinner why we both chose to be Inupiaq when we could pass, and our lives would be so much easier. Do you know how painful that is to hear your father say that to you? My brother kicked me under the table, and I told my father we found a world that was so beautiful, we couldn't be anything else. We come from people who dreamed, and they didn't need to diminish someone else's soul to be human.
Moderator April Stahl is Native American, and she acknowledged earlier in the discussion that she can also pass as white. And she had this to say about unfair treatment of Native people.
You bring up a lot of the stuff that we don't want to talk about. And in fact, I was just having a discussion earlier today. A training I did all day on Monday was teaching foster parents about the importance of culture and talking about the history of Alaska and talking about the BIA and the boarding schools and what happened. And why some folks might not understand how someone could say, you know, why would you be when you could pass? It became survival at one point for folks who could pass to do so, because Native people across the country were rounded up and put in boarding schools. And then the other thing that we don't talk about either, you guys, some of you might know, but when we talk about World War II and we talk about the Japanese internment, the Aleut people were interned. Yunnan people were interned. And so I think that's why these conversations are so important, because it's not documented in a lot of places.
Special thanks to Ann Hillman from Alaska Public Media for moderating that conversation. We've enjoyed all the submissions for our Uncomfortable Truth series that we've got from you, and we'd love to get even more. Visit thetakeaway.org/truths. Tell us who you would like to have a difficult conversation with about race. It could be a family member, a friend, or a coworker, anyone who you'd like to sit down and hash it out with. So send us those. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Sarah Gonzalez. So we're filling in for John Hockenberry this week. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.